Hello everyone, and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Kotowska, and I will be your host. This is UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of studies, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions. We will have guest speakers. Are you ready? Then let's go! Today we will talk about bodybuilding, my way of emotional recovery. Strength training not only builds muscles, boosts strength, and burns fat, but it has a considerable positive impact on our daily mindset. In fact, exercising of all types, aerobic, resistance training, swimming, yoga, provides real benefits to the brain and our ability to preserve through life's challenges. Today, we're speaking with Stella, an athlete, an overall figure champion, personal trainer, life coach, and hypnosis practitioner. She loves teaching others as her passion is to help and heal the world by empowering people. She has been diagnosed with mental health problems, came from physical and emotional abuse. She was close to not wanting to be on this earth, and now all she is thankful to universe for making her alive and be the woman that she is today. Stella, welcome to the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Aunt and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Morning!
Oh, good afternoon. I wish it's okay. There she's in the studio. How lovely. How's your training?
Oh, yeah, it was so good. I just did some cardio just to kind of like zone out and just get my body moving and things like that. My training's this afternoon, so we'll go for the heavy shit. Then I'm going to go off to John Reed in the afternoon to train there, different surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, thank you so much. We made it. I'm so happy. Woo, woo, woo. I'm happy and excited for this topic because it's pretty interesting and something different. So I haven't done it yet. So welcome, welcome on board on UK Health Radio and on this show. Welcome and happy to have you.
Thank you. I can't wait. I'm excited and I'm ready to go play.
All right, let's get it then. Stella, tell us more about yourself. Who are you? I know you're a super energetic person, and I hope through this interview, listeners will be able to connect with you and hear it in your voice. But just tell us all about you.
Who am I? Oh my gosh, I'm a passionate individual. I love performance. I love outdoing myself. I love growing. I love healing and helping others to feel empowered, be empowered. I'm currently a PT at Gym Box Bank. I'm also an online coach as well, which I love doing in my spare time as well. Training, I train 6 days a week, addicted to it, bringing my cardio in there as well because we all love our cardio sessions. I actually have come from the corporate company. So this...
Oh, this I did. Me?
So this whole lifestyle of mine flipped on its head into a UE back in 2018. So I was in a corporate company. I worked for HSBC Bank, manager there. Then I went into the energy world and the energy sector. We all got remain in redundant at HSBC Bank at the time where the computer and online banking started. So where else could I go? What sort of division needs me? Industry. And I chose, okay, energy. Then I transferred my sales skills into the energy company. And then I ended up being a head of sales at a corporate energy company in Hammersmith. So I run account managers all my time leading up to the UE that I went into and the transition into the fitness industry.
That's pretty unusual from corporate to something that is so unstable. So different. You have to be your own manager, your own boss, manage everything from A to Z.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So you have to, like, because I've always been driven in like my numbers and even in performance and money and being a better person, I just thought to myself, you know what, let me just own my own business and let me just go out there and make it happen for me. And that's what kind of like changed me because I wasn't fulfilled anymore in the corporate world. It just didn't work for me no more. And when I woke up, went into work, I didn't feel it in my being that I was belong there anymore. And I knew I had to make a change. I would cry. I would get really upset. I'd walk to work going, what's my life going to be? Why am I here? What am I doing? Is it just for, like, what have I got to prove to myself now if I'm at the top of the pinnacle? Next is being director, right? So I was like, right, there's some soul search that I need to do. And that's when I decided to just hand in my notice. I didn't know how I was going to live, didn't know what I was going to do at that point. All I knew was fitness training was the next thing for me because I got into it heavily at the time of being in the corporate world.
Oh, really? So it started when you were actually working for your business? Oh, wow. Okay.
I'd working as head of sales for an energy company. I started going to the gym. I started at HSBC Bank, even when I was manager there, a team leader there. I would leave there at lunch break, train, and then get back to work to manage my team. So I was always a gym person. But I didn't realise that I thought going all the time was a good thing, right? But actually going all the day isn't a good thing. Especially if you're just a lifestyle sort of person enjoying it. But I realized the reason why I did was it became my escape. Mm-hmm. It became my escape route to a lot of things.
So I will ask you, how did you discover that passion? Because, let me reveal the secret. You're the bodybuilder, very accomplished one. So how did you discover that passion for such a sport as bodybuilding, which is... inquire a lot of discipline, dedication, motivation, oh my God, and more.
Literally, it's out of this world. And I was training in a gym where I used to live, and my coach at the time came up to me and was like, you're here every day. Have you ever thought about bodybuilding? And I was like, what's bodybuilding? Imagine. I was like, what is it? Like, tell me what it is. And then they explained to me, like, she explained to me what it is. That, you know what, the way I'm in the gym, the way I'm driven, the way I'm performing in the gym, I could actually make this my full-time thing. And I was just like, wow, actually, yeah, I could. And I went, with me, I'd always say, I'll try. I'll never say, no. I'll say, I'll try and see if it's for me. And I tried it and it was literally the best thing ever. The first few 6 months, it was like, wow. I've never, ever had to put my body and my mindset through something so, like, set and so structured. All my meals set out, all prepping, training. I did cardio in the morning, then I trained in the afternoon. And I had to get my mindset around the structure, the habit, and having to push yourself no matter how you was feeling that day. And when it started ticking, it took me a while to get into. And when I did, I was like, I can't think of anything else now. This is me.
Wow. So
that, and then you started to be a PT.
Yeah, so I quit the corporate world and was like, well, I need to study the qualifications. So I quit, went to study it for, I think it was a intensive course for like 2 weeks, passed it, had great people supporting me there. And then I literally just thought, right, now I live in London. At the time I was living in London, and I was like, right, let me find a gym that's located around where I was living, which was sort of Canary Wharf Way and Canada Waterway. So I was literally just going, right, I want to kind of work around here. Mm-hmm. And at the time I didn't know, like, I knew about gyms, but I didn't know what I know now about gyms, if that makes sense, and the commercial side and what's busy, what's not, what's, you know, how each gym operates. So I had interviews with different gyms, and I remember walking into Gym Box Bank being like, wow, not just the environment, but also I thought, is this going to get me to stay? Because it gets me to stay, so I know that I can help anyone through my own journey. I just knew I would. I didn't think, okay, can I have a business here? I thought, actually, can I learn from here? And can I then transfer those skills onto my client? Because at the end of the day, it's about you, your experience, what you know and your knowledge, why people want to work with you.
Mm-hmm. So what, it's been like now 3 years, of you competing. Tell us about your achievements.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I was with a UK BFF. It went really well. But then the COVID hit, and then we kind of all had a pause for a year. So I did a show with UK BFF. My first show didn't place. Second show didn't place. Third show won. Fourth show got third in the British finals. Then I moved Federation to Two Bros Pro show. And I competed with them in September. I won my first times in that division and in that federation, and also that figure, because I've also gone up. I won't say up, but I've just changed category. So I done the first time is there. I won that. I won my height class, which is height class C, that same show. And then I won the overall with all the figure girls that have been competing with me on that day and previously. So I won the whole show.
Wow. Within only 3 years, well, with the COVID break. So that's pretty, shows a lot of your hard work and dedication.
Absolutely. And I literally kept my meals. I kept training in lockdown. I was thinking, okay, because I used this time as like, oh, why me? But I used this time like, try me. Let me just see every day. Let me tackle every day. At the end of the day, I thrive myself on performance and high standards. So I had to keep that up, because I know I'll go Dilali, which means I'll go crazy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do something. So I was like, right, keep my body moving, keep pushing. And that's what I did. And then when the gym started opening, I just like took it to another level. And I knew before I was actually going to compete, I knew I was going to win that show.
Wow.
I knew, I manifested it. I knew I was gonna have first place, and I knew that I was gonna have my sword.
Good that you're saying that, because just as a reminder, today's topic is bodybuilding my way, which is your way, of emotional recovery. So yeah. My question is about, you know, there's so many controversial thoughts about bodybuilding. I mean, I never been a bodybuilder. I did a little bit of CrossFit, try it here and there, but you know, being in this industry, you hear a lot of bad and good things about it. But yeah. I won't lie, I heard more bad things in terms of how it affects your body than good things. So yeah. I would like to hear it from you, from a professional who is in that field 24/7. Is bodybuilding good for your mental health and for physical health? Could you elaborate on that perhaps?
So for me, and this is my own opinion, when I've gone through my journey in bodybuilding, it has saved me from depression. Mm. That's what me. So going back, rewinding, I was in a broken place. I literally, my mindset was all over the place. I didn't know what I was, who I was, where I was going. Not only that, I also saw myself not confident. I also saw myself as not believing in myself. I also had self-doubt like everyone else. And I always said,
corporate world, you've been the manager, so it's a little controversial to be that leader, but then not a leader in your own skin, in your own life journey. Amazing.
Yeah. And that's what's phenomenal, because I think because I had that feeling, I always wanted to grow to be the best. So in myself, I felt different to what I saw in the mirror. My achievements on piece of paper, which happens to a lot of people. And that's where imposter syndrome can come in. Do you know what I mean? That's where you kind of led yourself to believe something that actually other people see that you're not or are. It can go both ways. So it's so easy for you to get back in that story that your lifestyle was how you grew up as a child. So because I had a bad upbringing and I basically dragged myself up, I was always labeling myself in my head as that person. So when it comes to my leadership roles, I was like, okay, I walked into that in the corporate world and I was like, I don't care what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure I will be the highest achiever in the corporate world. So when I did my outbound sales, I was a team leader, having the best team manager, make sure they all perform and motivating them. So I took my inside personal traits to help others in the team succeed in their performance.
But never really kind of help yourself, isn't it? Because I found it very challenging. Sometimes it's easier to help others than to help yourself.
Because you're going through that pain. You want to go, oh gosh, like that's me all over. This is what you could do. But never thought, actually, what do I need to do? The bodybuilding helped that. The more confident I got in bodybuilding, the more I pushed all the way. I would literally be like, oh my gosh, give me anything. Give me anything. If I can get up every single morning and train as hard as I did the day before, if I can get up and have my meals, if I can get up and change someone else's life, it really, and upskills your knowledge and who you are to perform in building, you can honestly feel confident. You know what I mean? You can then want to talk to anyone, help everyone. You want to have your own business. You want to kind of give back the person you once was, which you're not anymore.
So that's the emotional, mental aspect, how yeah. physical aspect and bodybuilding.
Physical part, again, everybody, like you was to train a lifestyle client, like you was to go through an own journey when you're in the gym. Let's face it, some people are like, you know what, gym isn't for me. Like, you know, battering every day, coming in, lifting strong weights. Some people just can't. Their body is fragile. So with those sort of caliber of people, then yeah, it won't be for them. If people can't stick to the diet or people don't want to, the lifestyle is, you know, going out for drinks and having meals and everything else, I would say come in and train. But when it comes to body, no, it's not for them. Bodybuilding won't be for them. You know what I mean? You've got to have the self-discipline. You've got to make sure that you tick all the boxes. And bodybuilding is such a sport that it's not for everyone. It's not. Either you either are a bodybuilder or you're not, and the body does take its toll. So if you're okay with having, you know, high protein, you know, smashing your body to the limits of heavy lifting, if you lift that way, then you have to know that there will be risk and complications in the back end of it. But if you're, you know, you want to kind of give it a go and see if it is for you and it works for your body, then fine. But if it's for a long lifestyle, then like anything, it gets a battering. You're like, actually, I don't, my kidneys, my health, it couldn't be for you and it may not be for you. So I think everyone needs to try or everyone needs to think, is this for me, and make their own personal decision, because I think that this is only my opinion. Bodybuilding is for me. I love the sport, I do it, but I also take the risk that actually my health could be at risk, but it might not be.
Correct, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no blueprint for it. It's whether that person wants to take it on board or not and do what the sport is to do, and how high you want to achieve it. Some people just want to get to the stage, don't want to be overall figure champion, don't want to be an overall champion, don't want to have a pro card. Some people just want to train, they're seeing their body get into condition, they want to get lean and go, okay, I'll do a show once in my life. Then yeah, it's for them. Some people like myself want to go to the end of the earth to be and to grow into the sport because I've taken it wholeheartedly and it's my life and my passion.
It's a little bit like addiction, isn't it? Because
yeah,
what you're saying is similar in boxing world. So many people, it's just like they like to box, do pads, bags, that's it, no sparring, yeah. Out of this, but they still like to do it. For me, it's like I left it for a while and then I was like dragged back in. I'm like, I miss it. It's that addiction, that adrenaline when you're and you compete, and it's a little bit sometimes hate and love relationship. Obviously it's more love than hate because you're coming back to it, but it's a very you have to decided for yourself, really? And of course, there will be a lot of controversial opinions about boxing, how unhealthy it is, X, Y, and Z. But yeah, it goes down to how you carry yourself, how you look after your body, how do you protect yourself, what is your technique? You know, all of these little things matters.
Exactly, how you push yourself. If you want to do it as a long lifestyle career, or actually if you just want to do it to a show, again, all these factors will narrow down to what you want to do. But with anything, it's going to be taken to a point that that person wants to do it at that goal. Do you know what I mean? Doing it just to do it, if you see what I mean. Because getting lean, not even want to do it. You are hungry, you're moody, you're not a happy person. Even though when I'm lean and I'm dieting, I make sure I choose to be happy because it's what I choose to do. No one's putting a gun on my head and going, right, Sidda, you've got to prep, you've got to do a show. So why am I going to make sure everyone around me is going to be affected? Now, year three in it, I'm like, right, okay, Sidda, switch up your mindset. This is what you choose to do. Come on, get on with it.
That was the next question. What bodybuilding makes you feel like? So you mentioned that it does make you feel sometimes moody, but it's your choice to be happy. So what does it make you feel on an emotional level?
Oh, loads of things. There's times where I will cry when I'm competing, you know, prepping into my show. Off season, you get that whole feel of, oh my gosh, I'm getting fat, I'm putting on weight, I don't like myself in the mirror. I just want to be lean all the time. I love seeing my abs. So you had to, like, in the first year, I had to deal with that and actually getting over my rebound stage and then going back into off-season and growing again and then doing it properly. What I mean by that is having a proper reverse diet, then an off-season, and then you're growing to your next show. And once I did that for the second year, I realised my potential in the sense of it's not just how you get on stage and that's it. Being a bodybuilder is 24/7. It's how you come out of your show. There's no blueprint to how you do it, but obviously you've got to work with your mindset. When your body's doing one thing, but you're telling yourself another, you kind of look in the mirror and go, oh my gosh, I'm not that lean person that I love being. And when I got into that shape, when I got into that stage, you know, physique, I'm now fluffy. I've got to enjoy my curves. So yeah, so when I went through that stage, I was like, you know what, I now know what it takes to be a bodybuilder. I have to embrace my curves, I have to embrace my body fat, and I have to now know for me to lift, I need to eat more. So when I'm eating more, of course I'm going to put on fluff. Of course that's going to be extra body weight. But don't go overboard, like anyone can do that, right? Oh, let's just smash so much meals and then train, everything will be right. No, you just got to do it with a strategy behind yourself. And that's why having a coach helps with that. So it's just that rebound phase, getting lean again, bringing on body fat, and then getting lean again. So now I've mastered that. When I get when my body fat calms, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love being this woman. You know what I mean? And then when I...
The process, because I think people have this idea in the head that, you know, what is on stage, that's how you should be. And so then when they see you looking different, it's like, wait a minute, that's not the same person. And I won't lie to you, obviously it's a big change when you see it visually. But of course, it's impossible, according to my knowledge at this point, impossible to maintain what you have on a stage, because your body fat is what, equal to freaking 2-3%, or what is it even?
Yeah, exactly. But then you need to think, like, now I've had to like switch my mindset and be like, okay, so if I want to compete and be an athlete and be a bodybuilder, which I am, I have to put that body weight on to push that weight. I have to eat more meals. You can't be lean all year round and be a champion. You can't be lean all year round and go on to looking different. No, you'll look the same, or if not worse, because you're eating into your muscle because you haven't put on any growth. So you have to say to yourself, okay, what is it that I need to do? Where I need to be? So when people
put that weight back on to train and get stronger. So that's a normal cycle. It's not like it's bouncing back, meaning
it's part of the journey. It's part of the process. So don't look at it as two identities. Look at it, okay, this is what I need to do. So this is where I need to get to. And for me to build and look different every single year, because the whole part of it is, to depend on what category you're in, you need to grow. In my category, I need to grow. I need to get bigger. So in order to do that, I need to come off the stage, have a nice reverse diet, go into my off season, which I'm heavily in now. If I want to tidy up here and there and take away a kilos off here and there, I will. It just depends on what my body composition is saying. But actually, if I'm okay with my body composition, then I'll say, okay, let's ramp it up again and let's keep growing until I get back into prep. So I just think you have to know this sport, and it takes a while to grasp what the nature of it actually is. And I would say to anyone listening, if you want to go into bodybuilding, do your research, because it's expensive.
Yes, there you go. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
For you to sacrifice your life, you have to invest in bodybuilding, because you are sacrificing things that you can't do with your friends, i.e. go to weddings and you could eat the meal with them, have alcohol. That can be a sacrifice for some people. If I like to drink here and there when I'm competing for the whole year, I won't touch it. I wouldn't be guilty about it, because my goal is getting on stage. My goal is my overall champion. My goal is my pro card. Yeah. So that doesn't in between it. But you can't have your cake and eat it. That's, you know that you do that, and you don't have anyone, like I said before, you don't have anyone having a gun to your head going, you can't have that drink. And a lot of people, i.e. friends and family, it took me so long to get around that I'm a bodybuilder, that I can eat. I had like some friends saying I'm gonna look ugly when I put on muscle. I had some people saying, oh, Sarah, but if you have this one meal, it ain't going to affect anything. Oh, Sarah, oh my gosh, like you put on weight, you look so different. Oh my gosh, you're so lean. Have you got disease? Everything okay? Are you ill? Look at your gaunt face. It doesn't look right. So I've had to not just deal with sacrifice, I've dealt with opinions on others to tell me how I look in my journey. And I had someone say to me, oh, you still doing the he-she thing? So, yes.
It's very important for people to understand that the knowledge is the key. And if they don't understand, it's better because you don't know how your comments might affect someone. You're very strong, you know, dedicated, well put together. But obviously, we deal with so much. You deal with so much on that stage of your process that comment, it's just like, why would you even, you know, if you have concerns, just come with maybe more neutral approach and be like, hey, all good. You need anything? Yeah. Here we go. I'm here.
Yes. And everyone's got a right to their opinions. That's not a problem at all. But sometimes, like, just give bodybuilding or bodybuilders a break. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know the whole knowledge. And like you said, come to us in a different way. Or I wouldn't really kind of say us as like we're a cult or we're a thing. But I'm just saying, like, approach it in a different mentality, because also having these opinions and people saying, oh my, like even now if I go on the street, people are like, oh my gosh, her biceps, even now, oh my gosh, like her shoulders, her back, like when I'm walking on the street and it's a hot day and I don't want to wear my sports bra on and my clothes, yeah, I hang around and my trousers, but I'm just like, you know what, sometimes just leave it. But because people are so shocked at what they see, and when they see your physique, both off season and not, people are gonna comment. But it's also made me so much stronger. When I get the comments now, I laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? When I get the comments of, you know, oh my gosh, like you, is everything okay? I literally just say to others, I'm totally fine and I'm doing what I love. Remember, I'm a bodybuilder. Then they leave me alone. Or I say, let's leave the conversation. We don't need to go on about it or talk about it. You addressed your concerns. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But this is what I do for my sport and what I'm passionate about.
Yeah. So what are the pros and cons of bodybuilding?
Oh, the pros is my pros, I would say, is it's made me grow. It's made me disciplined. It's grown my business. It's grown my lifestyle. I've appreciated my health a lot more in the sense of weight training and having my food and everything. It's made me understand how I feel when I have my meals and when I don't. So if I have my meals, I'm like on fire. But when I like have like a pizza or whatever, I feel like shit. Imagine. So it's made me actually realize that junk food is also a depressant and a low vibration thing to have, because it's got full of sugar, which actually you can't have all the time. So it's made me really like switch up my whole lifestyle. Is if I was to have my cheat meal, yeah, I'd have it, but I won't go clucking for it because I actually enjoy eating my food. Mm-hmm. I would say pros is, I think that's my strong mentality. Oh, my physique. I love what I'm building. I absolutely love what I'm building. And I can see already where I'm going to take my body before I even got there. But I think that is an amazing thing. And I've become my own superhero.
Aww. How?
Lifting, performing, my confidence, my attitude towards life. It's just so positive. It's amazing.
That's amazing.
I save myself, you know, I save myself. I'm not that once girl or lady that was depressed. I'm not. I would say that I'm over that now, and I don't even feel those energies or that way inclined anymore.
Beautiful.
Now the cons. Oh, cons, with it was going to be hard for me. I would say cons, not in a negative way, but you've got to sacrifice your life, so you're not going to always make it to your friend's life achievements.
Mm-hmm.
So, and would get married, I can't go for dinner, there's no point, they're going to pay for me for something I can't eat. So if I do, I would say I have to bring my own meals and then heat up in the wedding, like, when we eat and stuff. So my lifestyles had to change dramatically, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's what I live for, right? I would say you have to think about your whole life and structure. Like, you don't just go, okay, wake up, okay, what am I gonna have for breakfast? No, I have my 60 grams of oats and my 2 scoops of protein powder with peanut butter in it. That's what I have, and that's what's programmed in me. So I can't just go to Sainsbury and go, oh, what can I eat today? Everything is planned. Everything is structured. So if you don't like that way of living, it'll be very hard for you to get your head around.
You have to be very organized for this lifestyle, isn't it?
Pardon?
You have to be very organized for this lifestyle.
It's the only area of my life that I'm actually organized. It's bodybuilding. But it's been years of programming, years of structure, years of, okay, this is what I've got to do to get to where I need to be. And the love for it as well. And also, I'll say the cons. I don't know if this is a con, but it's the wave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some days you're going to come into gym and you can't lift the lift you thought you were going to lift. Some days you come into the gym and you suck. Some days you're just like, oh my gosh, like how can I get through this? And you can't, because you're physically, mentally in prep drained. But you do, if you see what I mean. That's what your mind says, but you get it done and you get over it. So I think wave of what you feel. And then when you have that carb meal, you're like, ping. And like, you're like, okay, got energy again. So you actually realize what food actually does to you when you do have little of it. So it's just going through the wave and not being so emotionally attached when you are getting lean. And understanding, as women and as well as men, we all go through emotions, right? So you've got to just watch that and how it plays a part to it. And a lot of mindset. So when I was competing, I had a dream about me eating junk food. I thought I did. I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, I ate that. What the hell? I didn't even have that in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Before I had all those sweets in the cupboard. I don't have sweets in my house.
Yeah.
So, and that's because I'm depriving my body for it wants it, so it's giving me that dream. And you understand like how your body just is miraculous and how it tries to have something that you're depriving it of, and also something that you want but you know you can't, and you don't want it anyway really, but you want it because it's not what you can have at reach.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned this a little bit about the depression, but the question that I wanted to ask is weightlifting training good for mental health problems, depression, like you mentioned? And it's,
yeah. But for me, it's been a massive, massive U-turn. Like, I was so depressed that I actually was on antidepressants. So coming into the gym, lifting the weights and getting myself focused into my performance and into how I was training, the endorphins you get afterwards, it's another body chemical that you release. That in itself, you're jumping, going, yes, I've done it, yes, I was able to lift that weight, yes, I was able to do that exercise, and I was to ace that form, because we're constantly always correcting our technique and form. Do you know what I mean? So it's just the endorphins you feel when you've done something, or when you're about to do something, you've tried something, and then also putting the weight and your body under tension, your muscles time under tension, the feeling you feel afterwards is great. And I think sometimes we forget that feeling, right? We're like, oh my gosh, I'm dreading going to the gym. But I always think, actually, no, how do I feel after when I finish going to the gym? I feel positive. I've been able to lift that, or I've been able to do that form, or all the tools that I feel after training. It's just unreal. And strength training for me has done that for me. And I know if people are doing the same, or yourself, you must probably feel it when you train, the endorphins and the rush.
Every time I go to the gym, it's like, why, Natalia, why? But then I'm thinking exactly what you just said, the after effect. Remember how you feel afterwards. And it's not just body-wise. It's also that accomplishment that you feel in your head and that satisfaction that, you know what, I didn't want to come. I want to stay in bed and watch Netflix and crap, but I actually made a choice, conscious choice. Yeah. Doing something better. So that proud moment of your own self that I can do it, I'm strong enough to conquer those lazy habits or those easy choices for the more
exactly. And I think more importantly, which you touched your nail on the head here, is that when you do train, yeah, you get all the you get your natural high and the chemicals and endorphins, but how you build confidence is actually one, before you couldn't even been here, say, and train amongst people, you stare at how others are training and look at it like, oh my gosh, I'm not training like that, or oh my gosh. So you start comparing. But when you actually know your craft or know your knowledge or get taught it from a coach, you go in the gym and you've just got this proudness about, yeah, I can train, I can boss this. So you also develop in growth and in confidence by just lifting or just doing the exercise, no matter what exercise it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in that, in the sport, you're always a student. So it's important to, I think, for myself, to have a balance. Okay, you're PT, that means you're teaching someone, but you also are in a student position. Someone is training you. So that coach element in your life, in my life, is very important, isn't it?
It's huge. I've got a coach, and I would never not have my coach by my side. I would always have my coach. He is amazing. He's taught me so much. I'm able to transfer those skills to my clients. My coach has brought me to stage and been by my side and been at every show of mine, literally from the ends of the earth, all the check-ins, all the pictures, would actually stay in one place together. So the constant check-ins are coming on show day. Like, the passion he has for the sport and what he does for my team is unreal. And I just feel that when you've got a coach that wants you to succeed and loves the sport and loves what they're doing, and obviously themselves, where they're seeing their own athletes go through that journey, it's amazing. And I think we as coaches know how important it is for clients to have us, so we need to invest in a coach to make sure that we're accountable, we're ticking all the boxes, because we're only human.
That's right. How do you cope with the feelings you've got with the pressure in about competing, being on the stage, being judged, constant criticism? How do you cope with that? What's your coping mechanism?
I love it. I feel that you have to be criticized for you to again grow, right? So all feedback should be good feedback, if it's good or bad. You know why? Because you're going to come back undeniable. If a judge is there saying, right, you need to pull up your hamstrings, you need to bring up your glutes, you've got to bring up your shoulders and your back, what does that mean? You're only going to get better next time. So I look forward to the feedback. I want to be having feedback. I want to know how I can improve. And if anyone don't like feedback, then I would suggest taking a little course on you know, English or whatever it is, and actually seek feedback from others, or ask friends and family feedback on them, how they are as a person. So I think feedback should be universal in my sport, and everyone should get used to having feedback. Once I got used to having feedback, that was more in the corporate world, I love feedback. It's the best thing. That's what's made me grow.
Mm-hmm. So, but for the emotional states, for example, you're depressed and you're not necessarily super confident and you struggle with self-esteem, do you think competing, being on the stage, can somehow, it makes you grow in your example, but do you think that some people might feel a certain way about it, or might make them feel more less about themselves?
Yeah, that we are less confident and less calm. I see what you're saying here, and I think
won't believe. And in that case, what would be your advice for them? How to overcome that?
My advice for them is ask yourself why feedback for them is difficult. What's going to be lacking in confidence? Because I remember when I first started my show and my leg would be shaking, my arms were shaking, but I had to go on stage and do that. And every single time I came back, it got less and less and less and less and less because I'm learning, I'm growing. So initially, everyone's going to have that and enjoy the ride. Enjoy it. Enjoy the shakes, enjoy the crying, enjoy the, oh my gosh, this whole theatre of people. That's the only thing I can say for that. But I could also say that keep coming back. Just because you have that one feedback that we didn't really expect, then the only thing I would say for that is keep trying. It's like, I've got knocked down so many times. I failed so many times. I have been homeless a few times, but I've always got back up, and every single time that I have, it's got better and better and better. What I mean by better is how I've been able to cope with it. So now I love feedback, I thrive on it, because until I done my first, second, third show, I wouldn't know how to receive the feedback. But until I embraced it and changed my mindset with, oh, this feedback I'm going to have, I'm going to actually grow from it, i.e. come back undeniable. I'm going to lock in my nutrition a little bit more. I'm going to lift a little bit more. That's all learn and that's all growth. So it's just work on that growth mindset to how, rather than tapping into how you feel, you're going to have to ride the emotions to how you feel. With anything, you've got to come out of your comfort zone. And that will be that you'll come from not confident to then confident.
Mm-hmm. So, you mentioned a little bit, depression, being homeless, and all this past experiences, how your health struggle, your past experiences and your relationship affected your training? Have they had any impact, perhaps positive or negative?
I would say that it's all been positive because I've trained more than I ever have, in the sense of like, I've been able to put that to weight. So I've lifted really heavy for the pressure or for the low moments I've had in my life. So that's why I always say bodybuilding saved me. But going on from what you're saying is really crucial was I, for my show, when we was in lockdown and we came out of lockdown, I wanted to grow a little bit more than what you'd normally say, depending on how long you want your off season. But I could have finished my off season after a year, but I chose a year and a half and I decided to have prep back end, I'd say near summertime of this year, rather than not doing a show at all. So I've had 17 months off. I had a long break. Right, I had under 2 years off basically, because we got locked down in 2019, wasn't it? In March. Oh my gosh! Wow.
2 years, correct?
Yeah. Wow. So yes, so that March when we got into lockdown, I basically was homeless in June for a month, 4 weeks. I was in my friend's house. And then after, I just started to train, then come round to the summer, I would say the back tail end, July, like I was saying, I went back into, or sometime at that time, I went July, August, I went into prep for my September show. Mm-hmm. And I just it'd take more time for me. I didn't care about the time. Oh my gosh, what if I don't do a show? I just cared more about how I was feeling. And I always said that the show and the stage would always be there.
So basically the struggles kept you going even harder.
Yeah.
Your past was your best kind of friend and motivator in that sense.
Absolutely, because, and again, you said something so crucial here, which I should talk more about actually. I, with all my past, I take it to the gym, so I'm able to lift a lot of weight. And that's because all of the dark moments that I've had, I take it to that use rather than getting angry at life, rather than saying, why me? I say, try me, and then I use it for the weight, rather than being aggressive to my friends or, do you know what I mean, taking it out on other people. I take it all out on the weight, and it's amazing. It's unreal. And that's my dark place.
Very constructive, very positive way of releasing any form of frustration, anger, sadness, whatever else.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's next for you? What's happening? What's coming? Tell us more.
So I should be starting prep soon. So I'm excited to get back into prep. I want to work towards the British finals, and which I will do. And I'm going to go and enter the Arnold. So that is going to be something.
Speaking about the Arnolds, I did this Miss Swimsuit competition grand final. It was on the Miss on the Arnolds in Birmingham.
Wow! I actually
contest. What we have is more like a beauty contest. So girls in the swimwear, we don't have to be, you know, ripped or nothing like that. But it was actually on that event that you just mentioned, Arnolds, and it's amazing. It's wow event. So yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so I'm gonna. That's what's on the cards for me this year. I just can't wait. I really can't wait.
If you guys see her, I can see her on camera. She's screaming, shouting, jumping all around.
I'm so excited. So it's gonna be more of that. I'm gonna continue to grow my business. I want to try and help, I am gonna help as many people as I can. You know, with their lifestyle, their diet, healing them. So I'm a life coach as well and a hypnosis practitioner. So many things that I want to offer to people out there with my own experience, and also to help them with theirs, and just having a positive life. So that's what's really on the cards: competing, business, and if we can get to around traveling, I would love to see more places, especially after my show, and go away after my show and actually just, you know, unwind for a little bit and then come back again and yeah, hit the ground running. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting year, I think. And I think we're all, yeah, we've got this new variant or whatever, but I think, you know, we are going to open up again, and I think the world is going to get back to what it used to be. It will take a long time to recover, but we've just got to be grateful that we're alive.
Yeah, I agree with you. Very nice. Well, thank you so much for taking your time. By the way, she's at the gym. She just took the time out of her training to do that, so I much appreciate it. Thank you. Because I'm in my comfy room. But I'm very glad to have that conversation. Perhaps for someone, someone could look into that more and then perhaps contact you. We're going to give your details, your Instagram. So you guys always DM, ask more questions if you're interested in bodybuilding. I think it's a very beautiful, very difficult discipline. I don't think I would be able to do it because I love freaking eating. And for me, already in boxing, what you have to do is pretty, you know, cutting weight and all that crap. But what you do, oof, difficult job. But if anyone is interested, you have here the best representative probably. So you can just contact her, ask her any question. Also your PT. So we're going to give all the details if someone is interested, you know, in your help. Either coaching, healing or PT, we will provide our information.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. And if anyone wants to drop me a DM, write me a message, I'll always have my heart and my arms open. But you've been amazing. Thank you for having me.
I always see you and you're very positive. So I can guarantee that you're going to have a fun time with my lady, because she's always like smiling and always happy, always really spreading that positivity. So that's very important in life.
Absolutely, baby, absolutely.
You go and run for your training. Thank you so much.
Bye, darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, darling. Bye.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
The station that makes you feel good.
Bodybuilding is a great way to strengthen, tone, and stabilize your entire body. But it's easy to make mistakes that can cause injuries that keep you out of the game for months. If you really want to dedicate yourself to building muscle mass over time, be patient. Start with some bodybuilding basics and move forward from there. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you need more information, please make sure you visit my website www.nataliakotowska.com, where you're going to find all information about the coming event. Follow me on Instagram, FitnessWithNK, where you can find a lot of workouts, a lot of great videos, and you can also DM me with any questions, any concerns, any topics that you would like me to cover. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.